Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Turn up the radio and sing along. It's time for another great song. This is the Great Song Podcast.
Season's greetings and welcome once again to the Great Song Podcast. I'm Rob Alley.
I am JP Mosier.
And we're here to celebrate the greatest songs in modern music history. We're going to tell you what makes them great, why we think they're awesome, and why you should too. JP, how you doing today, man?
Man, I am doing fantastic. So I feel like I say this often, but this is truly a case of one of the best interviews I think that we've ever had. And a lot of the good stuff, I felt like it's going to be tough to top the interview in the pre-interview coverage. So I want to get that out first. But first of all, what do you call someone that's hanging out by the wall? Art. Why couldn't the man afford the expensive art? He had no Monet.
Wow.
And my personal favorite, why did Van Gogh become a painter and begin studying art?
What?
He had no ear for music.
Okay. Oh, wow. Rob, you really tied everything in there in three handy little awful jokes.
Rob, tell him what song we're covering and who we are hanging out with today.
We're hanging out with the one and only Art Alexakis of Everclear. This is Santa Monica.
I am still living with your ghost, lonely and dreaming of the West Coast. I don't want to be your downtown. I don't want to be your stupid game. With my big black boots and an old suitcase, I do believe I'll find myself a new place. I don't want to be the bad guy. I don't want to do your sleepwalk dance anymore. I just want to see some. Beside the ocean, leave the fire behind. Swim out past the breaker, watch the world die. We can live beside the ocean, leave the fire behind. Swim out past the breaker, watch the world die.
Gotta let this first part of the second verse kick in.
I am still dreaming of your face.
Yeah!
Yes.
Dude, let's go.
Oh, man.
That is Santa Monica, one of the greatest rock songs of the 90s and like maybe ever.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, for my money,
right?
It really doesn't get much better. You can, we've talked all the like prog in the world and like, right? Van Halen and Genesis and Joe Satriani and technical wizardry. Give me Santa Monica, though. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's on equal level,
sure.
Mount Rushmore rock songs. Santa Monica by Everclear from the 1995 album Sparkle and Fade, written by our guest today, Everclear lead singer Art Alexakis. It is subtitled, parentheses, Watch the World Die in Europe.
I was about to say, I didn't know that. Yeah. I've never seen that. So just in Europe.
Not here in the States, but in Europe, this song is apparently called Santa Monica, parentheses, Watch the World Die. So you know we had to mention that. You know we had to
mention
that.
Rob loves a good parenthesis.
Love it. This song went to number one on the U.S. mainstream rock chart. That's Billboard. Number five on the Billboard U.S. Alternative Airplay chart. Number 29 on U.S. radio songs chart. Number 35 on the mainstream top 40. Went number four in Canada on the rock chart. Number 30 in Canada overall. Top singles. And number 40 in the U.K. It was top 40 in Australia, New Zealand, Scotland.
All
yada yada yada, number one in your hearts.
Yes,
you know, just literally. I this would take a minute to compile this list. This is not a thing you just tread into lightly, so I'm not going to try. But I think if you said top five '90s rock songs, this is one for me.
Oh, really? Already? You already throw it in there without to narrow down your list.
I can't try and name any more.
Okay.
But I think if you had to pin me down, top five 90s rock, this is on there.
It's a monster for sure.
It never disappoints. It never ages.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's always a turn it up banger.
And you know, they've got other big bangers and bigger hits, but when we always discuss like which one are we going to cover, it was like immediate. It's like it's Santa Monica, right?
Yeah, no question.
There's no doubt we're doing Santa Monica.
This is one of those things. We've done this several times with bands that like, I assume that their biggest song is one thing, and it ends up, I go, oh, that's the biggest? But sometimes it's a thing where you latch on with a band immediately, and their first thing that comes at you is your favorite thing of theirs.
Yeah.
And then their next album is the one that really goes into the stratosphere.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, even my favorite, one of my favorite Sticks, I would have thought Come Sail Away was their biggest, but it's Renegade.
That's right.
I was like, really? Renegade played the most?
Yeah. So this is one of those, for me, it's not their biggest song, but it's my favorite song of theirs.
Same.
You know, maybe it's because of the introduction, but I'll tell you maybe what it is. It might be because of a little thing I like to call the three levels of crunch.
Okay.
So this, you know, one of the coolest, best things about this song is it starts off like just barely, it might be just straight up clean at the beginning, right? This first riff, it might have a little grit on it, but it's pretty clean.
Any grit is just the knob turned up past six a little bit. It's just
right. Yeah, you can hear it when he strums the full, you know, thing. And that's by the way, that riff, if you ever just wanted to know and hadn't sat down and figured it out, that's a G chord, but it's played as a G bar chord, right? And it's just opening that first finger to the open E, right? So da 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 da, but you're keeping the G shape. It's just a G bar chord, right? It's not a full chord movement. It's just one finger lift. And so you get that like clean. I don't know. You may have this in Meet the Band, but I don't know what he's playing there. It sounds something along the lines of like a Gretsch, like a maybe even something like a semi hollow body. It just sounds like something that has a little cavity to it. You know, maybe doesn't necessarily sound like a Strat or a Les Paul just plugged in. That is almost so clean that that could just be plugged into the board, right? Like it's just very clean. That could be non-amped. That could just be the console preamp, you know, possibly. And so then you go through that first verse like that.
With your
goal, and then you get second verse, bass riff.
Black boots and an old suitcase.
Now we got a little crunch, right?
I'll find myself a new
okay.
And there's nothing fancy tone-wise with the bass either.
Yeah. It's just a nice round bass sound. Yeah. So we're going to play the full, you know, through the chorus with that sound. And then by the time we hit this second verse, it is on like Donkey Kong. We're still, you know, we're still pretty pleasant here. And then
still dreaming of your face.
Yeah.
The combination of the way Art leads in, I am still dreaming up, right?
Yeah, you get the growl,
that. And then the slide in with that super aggressive, heavy now tone that you got. And then everything just going off the walls from there on. You know, it's just great. Yeah. The three levels of crunch has always been one of my favorite things about this song.
I don't think we've ever discussed that. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's just something I've, you know, always learned. Other, like, I'll call this a theory thing.
Okay.
It's more a rock and roll laziness thing than a theory thing. Okay. It's not like I think this is something they did on purpose.
Okay.
But something you'll hear throughout this song that I think is interesting as a guitar player. So we're in the key of G. All right. We've talked a lot over the years more than a half decade now. We've talked about like diatonic scales, right? Sure. That is when you play the notes that are supposed to be in a scale. Mm-hmm. The notes that belong in the key that you're in are called diatonic notes. And so diatonically, if we're playing this song, the chorus goes, we can live beside the four, right? It's a C chord, okay? It goes four, four, five, one, one, six, five, right? Yep. 5-4-1. Okay. That sixth chord is minor, or at least it should be. Yeah. Okay. But the way it's played in this song many, many times is major.
It's not a fifth. It's not just, they're not just playing it.
So what your ear kind of assumes it is that you're hearing like the power chord that's just root, fifth, root with no third in it, right? Mm-hmm. And if you were going to play it as it should be diatonically, it should be minor. Mm-hmm. So you should have, let's see, I can't pull the notes out of my head. Hang on. Let me give me a key again. Okay, so there's your G. So you go dun 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 dun, right? Mm-hmm. That should be your minor outline of that key. But what you're going to get is dun 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 dun. Okay, they're going to play it major, and I'll tell you why.
Okay,
I think it's because when you play a bar chord, so you just lay that second finger down, and if you're just being rock and roll. Sometimes you hit that second string, right?
Yeah.
And it just sits down. And so instead of playing the power chord, if you're playing a power chord proper,
you're just supposed to palm you're playing you to play with, the bottom three notes and be
yeah, you're just playing
notes.
Three notes, and you would do it really, you would do it like with your first finger down on the first root, your ring finger down on the fifth, and your pinky on the next root up, right? To make that octave shape.
Yeah, I was trying to think how I play it. Yes, that's
so.
Yeah.
If you were just going to play straight up power chord by the books, you know, but if you play the lazy power chord with a root on the fifth string, which is what we're talking about here for this E chord, you just lay that ring finger down, you know, and then you can catch some strays that way. And that happens all throughout the song. We're actually going to end up with a major six chord voicing because that string that finger is catching strays and it's just laid flat making that chord major. I want you to listen to you know what, let's use a feature on Apple Music that lets us take out the vocals.
Okay,
let's see if I can do that on this, and we can just listen to the
music,
just the music.
Here's your karaoke track,
folks. Yeah, here comes the chorus. We can live beside. Okay. This is high chord. You hear it? Did it?
A little bit, yeah.
And let me pull out maybe the first, let me go back to that first chorus that's cleaner without all the distortion in the way.
Yeah.
We could live beside the ocean, leave the fire behind, swim out past the breakers.
There, you hear it? So what we should be hearing note-wise is the top note, right? If you're doing it by the books, what you're hearing is you're getting a whole step in between there.
Wow. That, folks, is great ear indeed.
So there's your theory for the day. So I'm just saying this is just a product of it doesn't matter is what I'm saying. This song rocks so much and it's so rock and roll that doesn't matter. It doesn't even put me off, and I'm particular about that kind of stuff.
That would make Rob cringe.
I am pretty buttoned up when it comes to music theory.
Yeah.
Right, like I
don't you dare play a major scale over a minor solo part.
Yeah, like, yes. And don't play a blues scale over a major chord part, solo, right? I don't care. Even when Clapton does it, I don't like it, you know? But you can get away with one lick. But once you do it more than once, I'm out. Right?
Go back and listen to our When Did You Fall episode and the ending solo of that.
My gosh.
The
yes.
Chris Rice throwback from probably season one,
wow.
Maybe two.
Yeah, probably had to be season
super
one,
early,
I think.
So.
Yeah, dude, that like, I like things to be the way that they should be.
Uh-huh.
It's part of my personality.
Yeah.
I will die on the hill of this is how a thing should go because it's how it's supposed to go.
Right.
And I have very little space for like outside thinking that way. Now I can appreciate we've done this a lot in, you know, our coverage of various songs over the years. You've heard me say like, I would have never had the guts to make that choice.
To try that,
you know what I mean? I can appreciate it when other people do it. I can't make myself do it. Yeah. I have to follow the rules of this is how this chord should be laid out here.
Uh-huh.
Right. And so I would be like, hey, you're laying your finger down.
Let's run that back again.
Make sure you're doing that minor. Uh-huh. If you're gonna add a third, make sure it's minor. But they're like, no, just screw that. Let's just play, you know. And that's how it should be.
If a producer would have said that, Art might have, you know, not been as friendly. Yeah. And then like, okay, I'll run that back.
Yeah, yeah. No, he would have accented it more. Right, like, right.
He'd have played open E major chord right there.
Absolutely. Okay, let's see what else. There's several things about this song I got to make sure I cover. One is... there's a in the first verse, I guess it's maybe the second verse, once the drums come in, the way they bring everything in kind of one thing at a time is great, right? You've got the super clean, you know, clean guitar at the beginning, bass coming in, doom, doom, layers. Doom, doom, mm-hmm. doom, right? The way the bass lays in over that line, put my big black boots in an old boom. Suit, like the big black boots and the bass coming in, boom, 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 boom. Yeah. It's just something special about it. But anyway, once the drums do come in, there's this great guitar thing in there that is either, I have two thoughts on what this could be, and I think I know what it is, because I think it might even get shown in the video, which I haven't seen since the 90s. But there's a what I'll call a kill switch riff.
Yeah.
Okay, so you hear this note that bends up, and then it like lives and dies. It goes, right? And it's not, every note is not picked. It's not a ding, 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 right? It's just a note that is, you've heard in modern days vocals do this, right? Yeah. Like Owl City, go, you know, and it's really just in the studio, he held one thing and they cut it out digitally. On a guitar, you can do it with two things. There's one thing that's called a kill switch. Certain guitars have it. I know like the Eddie Van Halen Wolfgang's later ones, they have a red button on them that's a kill switch button, and it just kills all the signal, you know. But on guitars that have two sets of independent pickups, like a Les Paul, they have two independent volume knobs, and if you turn one pickup all the way off, then you can use the pickup selector switch, the toggle switch, to like hit click back and forth. And on early, there's an early Van Halen record. I think it's something on Van Halen 1 where he does that. And I can't for the life of me think what song it is off the top of my head.
I never do that or have never done that.
I've done it just to do it, right?
I can't say that I've ever done that once in my life, like trying to think about it through.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
There's some song on Van Halen 1, I think it is. Might be Van Halen 2. Anyway, where Eddie does it with a Les Paul.
Okay.
But anyway, I think that's what this is here. Let's play it and you can kind of hear it. Who's mowing their yard right now?
We got a mower.
It's freaking 0 degrees. Why? We're trying to have a freaking... It's our last day of recording. Go away.
Mower came to the party.
Go bribe him. What do you need? $50 to not mow?
To not mow.
Until this afternoon? Hold on.
He's like, I'll show
two
you.
Two of them. They're out there
Here's
playing
an E major chord.
Freaking mowing bagpipes with multiple, like, they're doing the freaking mower Amazing Grace of bagpipes.
With my big black boots and an old suitcase, I do believe I'll find myself a new place.
So then drums come in halfway through, nice and little filled, Tom filled. Do, 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 do. Okay, listen, I think it's on the left side. Right here. Okay.
That's so cool.
So now you know what a kill switch riff is. That's either a button. I think, though, in this case, it's just flipping the toggle switch with one pickup turned off. Okay. All right. I'm going to... let me do this. I've talked a lot. Why don't we go ahead and meet the band, and then I'm going to talk about something else.
Okay, sounds good.
Hey, let's meet the band. It's time to meet the band. Hey, mama, let's meet the band. Let's all meet the band.
Hey! All right, let's meet the band. We're going to meet the band that is current Everclear.
Okay.
And then I'll meet the band that played on Santa Monica.
Okay, cool.
So I'm just going to list the current band. Art, who we're hanging out with at the end. Dave French on guitar, Freddie Herrera on bass, and Brian Nolan on drums. So we want to give them their due credence since they are the current Everclear band.
Present day.
That is not the Everclear band that played on Santa Monica.
Right.
So on drums, Greg Eklund, was originally in a band called Jolly Mon, M-O-N, but quit right after their debut release, like right after, but it turned out okay as he joined Everclear. So who do you think most of the population has heard of more.
Right,
Jollymon or Everclear. I listened to the bit, but really couldn't get into them. He's
not to be confused, by the way, with Jellyman, who is the guy that sang Aisha. Do you remember Aisha?
I don't think so.
There's like five people listening right now.
I don't think
like
I know that one.
2004, 2005, okay. Jellyman.
Okay.
Look it up. It's Jellyman with a G. G-E-L-L-I-E-M-A-N. Okay. And it's this dude who made this whole video in like his bedroom on like Minnie Mouse sheets.
Okay.
And it's like the most like, oh, Windows can make videos now video.
Gotcha. Okay.
And but he wrote this like track and he sings it and he's got dance moves. Yeah. Aisha in my life. Anyway, it's amazing. Sorry.
Strawberry or grape jelly? You get one the rest of your life. Only
what?
One.
Oh, I was like, jelly, man. What are we talking about? If I had one the rest of my life, only I'd probably one. Go strawberry.
Me too.
Yeah. So, okay. All right.
But I prefer grape on a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Yeah. Okay. I'll go back and forth.
Right. He's now in a band called, back to Greg. He's now in a band called Storm Large. His wife's name is Alina Kevorkian. And the only reason I mention that is I think she's the only other Kevorkian I know of other than Dr. Jack Kevorkian.
That's unfortunate last name to have to carry around. Are you related?
Yeah.
You
know what I mean? Patient's right.
It's like if your last name was Hitler.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like you just always get asked the question. You know, for the rest of your life.
Are you related? Heavier topic, what he did, so I want to get into, but that's the only one I ever knew. On bass guitar, Craig Montoya. He's in two bands now called Castella and Tripolar. He wanted to be a drummer, but there was a severe lack of bass guitarists in his area.
Okay.
So he picked that up, which is kind of a smart play. If you're going to learn an instrument, you can either learn something that you're like really passionate about or something where you'll get an opportunity to play more.
Right.
Like, I'll tie this into a personal story. In college, I've told this before, me and my buddies Rob, who's in the room, and Robbie Wade formed a former guest of the Great Song Podcast, Season 2, Episode 11.
Yeah.
And Season 4, Episode 11,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Blue on Black. I never realized Robbie was always on Episode 11.
Episode 11.
I never knew that. Anyway, they want to start a blues band. We all played guitar. They're both better blues guitarists than I am. So out of necessity, I dove headfirst into bass. And now, I mean, I play keyboard and guitar at some churches. But my favorite thing to play is bass with Rob and like cover bands and worship. So I always, when people are like, what instruments do you play? I always lead with, I played bass in a blues band in college. And then from there, I go to the mower.
Yeah. Listen.
Guys, you don't understand how distracting this mower is.
Hold on. We're leaving this in. I'm leaving this in. Shut the frick up. We're trying to record a freaking podcast.
What would Art do here? He would.
That's right. I'm just trying to honor Art's spirit.
That's right. This guy has never mowed this close to our house ever in the history of the world.
If he comes back with a gun, we have a problem.
That's right.
Anyway. All right. I've always just tried to edit around this stuff, but doggone it, today's the last day we're taping, and
we're feeling very
over it. I'm feeling emboldened by the finality of this day.
And Art is on lead vocals and guitar. And for all things Art, hang around to the end. I've said it before, but he's great. That guy's awesome.
Yeah. Okay. So I want to talk about an Art thing that I love. By the way, you just never hear of anybody with the last name Hitler anymore. You just don't.
That's a good point.
You will never meet somebody. I think people just change.
They have
to,
right?
Anybody with that, because obviously he was not the only Hitler in history, right? Yeah. He had to have some other family.
But
you know
it kind of stopped with him.
Like, out there somewhere, there's like a Suzanne Hitler. You know what I mean? And you just have to change your name. You can't.
Suzanne Hitler.
You know what I mean? Yeah, like, oh, hey, I'm Rob Alley. Nice to meet you. Yeah. Oh, hey, man. How you doing? Dave Hitler.
Hey, welcome to Moe's. And it's got his name tag says Hitler. It's like, doesn't quite work.
Oh, gosh. What's the... It just, any name you put with it, right?
It's just, it doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't matter. It can't... It's like, oh, no, man. Virgil Hitler, you know?
Maybe not Heil.
Yeah, Heil. But, are there people named Heil?
I don't know.
Kyle.
And you wave.
Oh, so, gosh.
First day of school. Stand up and introduce yourself. Kyle Hitler. Oh, that one caught me.
All right. Hitler sucks. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's move on.
Man.
Back to a guy who doesn't suck, and that's Art Alexakis.
Yep.
I want to break down the we've talked before about the John Foreman Okay. There's an Art Alexakis that it's has its own character. Yeah. It's different. And I want to break down the two specific types of Art Alexakis
Okay.
And I think we're going to hear them both in this song. I should have marked them down in time, but I think I can find them both. Let's see. One of them might be in another song, but he does them both often. Let's find here. This is toward the end. I know one of them happens at the end. Right here. Okay, so that's one that we get. Okay, that is, I'm going to call that the 6-3 art. Yeah, okay. It starts on the sixth note diatonically and goes down to the third. Right, okay, it goes from the, if we're in here, it goes from an E and slides down to a B. Okay, then the other one that we get is the 2-6 art. Okay, if we were in this key,
A to an E,
right? And it's So that's we get on. It's the same interval. They're both sliding down a fourth, and in kind of an unconventional note to start.
On the
like
two?
On the two and on the six of a but let's listen. I think we have an example in "I Will Buy You a New Life." Yeah, I think we have it right here at the beginning. Right? Okay. Yep. That's where we have the 2-6. Right? So, but it's, he does it all the time. Like he does it a lot in there, at least in their, you know, like big radio hits in that time period. So there you have the breakdown
of the
Art Alexakis. You have the 6-3. And you have the 2-6. Right. Okay. Anyway, I've always loved that because it's something you instantly know that's art. It's a signature thing for him, right? It's like a, I don't know that it's necessarily something he like wrote down, I'm going to do this, you know what I mean, intentionally, but it's just a habit of his and it becomes a signature. You know immediately, that's art. I love it.
It's like if this, if you hear somebody go, you know it's the Disturbed guy.
Yes, that's right. Okay. Another thing I love about art is he, it seems like he never felt the need to try and do like a high rock star voice.
He never got super falsetto.
He never tried to like, you know, he's very comfortable singing in like a baritone range.
He's not Steve Perry in you.
In a ton of their hits, you know, most of his stuff, we can live beside the ocean, right? Even when the song is at its biggest, you know, now eventually he'll go up there, we can live beside the ocean at the, like the very last chorus. But it's a lot of the time, father of mine, you know what I mean?
Comfort.
I will buy you a garden. You know, it's just, that baritone range is very comfortable there, and it's really neat. Everclear is one of those bands that, at least their radio stuff, kind of carved out its own sound and own space in a way that like a few bands did in the 90s, like Sugar Ray. You kind of know that sound of a Sugar Ray song when it's happening. You kind of know the feel of like a Creed song, right? You get that mid-tempo grungy, you know, thing, and you hear it in, you know, a lot of the Everclear stuff. It's like a lot of the stuff that became hits, whether this is because they started writing toward that more or because the record company was like, okay, this feels a little like, you know what I mean? Let's put that because it's what people have already associated with you. But you get that feel that you go, hey, this feel, this feels
like an Everclear song.
An Everclear radio song. They definitely had like lots of stuff that was, didn't feel that same way, but you know, you end up with a, you know, whatever.
I told Rob I was going to make a joke like with him, like I didn't get through it in the interview, but like, does anybody ever come up and be like, "Hey, play What It's Like," and he's like, "That's actually Everlast. That's not Everclear." I think if I was going to if you were going to confuse them or think of one band that sounds the most similar to Everclear, I should have prepped you with this, but and I may be off here, and you may be like, "You're crazy," but I kind of think Possum King by the Toadies could be in Everclear's repertoire. Play a little of that so you can hear what I'm talking about. Those of you guys that may not know the Toadies, have we talked about them before?
I don't know that we've ever mentioned Toadies.
Possum King's a great song.
Possum Kingdom.
Maybe it's the guitar to me that it feels like that, could be the...
Yeah, because it's not his vocal, really.
No.
Right, he gets a lot more of that crowing.
And he's definitely more affected.
Yeah.
But yeah, the band work.
Yeah.
To me, sounds like it could be.
But you're right. I think if you could, yeah. If there's a
Everclear's
song,
gonna cover somebody, they could cover the Toadie. You know.
Yeah. That's true. I think that's probably a fairly you know, accurate. Like if there's always people that like. Well, we've done it. You know, you think a song is by, I've done it a lot where I think a song is by one person. You're like, no, that's by whoever. Famously, Wild Cherry, right? I thought, Play That Funky Music, right? Was by, Casey and the Sunshine Band.
Okay.
And you were like, dude, that's Wild Cherry. Yeah. I'm like, who's Wild Cherry? You're like, that's their song. Like, yeah. I had no idea. Oh, okay. That was before the podcast ever started. Yeah. Like that was a long, long time ago. But, yeah. A little bit on Sparkle and Fade, the album, which was, again, not their biggest album. The biggest album was the follow-up, the next one. But this one is the one for me. Sparkle and Fade is the one for me. It went to number 25 on the Billboard Hot 200 albums. It was the number 88 album for all of 1996. It went to number 9 in Australia, number 39 in Canada, and number 20 in New Zealand. And it is certified platinum in the U.S., Canada, and Australia. A little on Everclear, the band. They are named, I didn't know this until research, because we're not alcohol guys, but they are named after a brand of alcohol called Everclear.
I think we talked to him about that in the interview.
He did mention it. And it's I did a little research on it because I just didn't know what it was. But it's grain alcohol, and it has an extremely high concentration of alcohol. And it was you know, cheap. Like you can get a hold of it for pretty cheap
drunk.
And get super duper drunk.
Uh-huh.
You know, I think typically, I think like whiskey, if you go get like Jack Daniels, I think it's like 40% alcohol by volume, which is 80 proof. Like if you see the proof label mm-hmm. on an alcohol, people who drink know this. People like us, we don't know yep. this. But when you see proof on a thing, you know, if it says it's 80 proof, that means you take that number in half and that is the percentage of alcohol that's present. I don't know why it's like that. I don't know why they didn't just go to 40%, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? But it'll say 40% alcohol by volume, right? And it's okay. 80 proof. Everclear alcohol, grain alcohol, comes up to 190 proof, meaning that what you're drinking is 95%
alcohol
yeah. by volume.
Yeah.
So you think about, you know, if you're taking a shot, let's say, of whiskey, every shot you're getting more than double mm-hmm. the amount of alcohol. And, you know, so it's like I think the minimum it was like 70, 80, and 95%. You know,
that's
so
crazy.
It's automatically just way too much
yeah.
right away. So anyway, that's what they're named after, the Everclear brand. And we'll talk to Art about, you know, he had his struggles yeah. with alcohol. And
he's very transparent about it too. He speaks very well on it.
Yeah. And he's stayed clean. And by the time Everclear hit, he was already clean.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we talked to him about the benefit that, you know, that kind of gave him yep. of, you know, rising fame after already having gotten clean. But he does a lot of stuff still to this day, you know, to try and, you know, advocate for, you know, addiction recovery, that kind of stuff. They, Everclear actually had a Grammy nomination for not this song and probably not one of the songs, you know, but they had a Grammy nom in 1988 for Best Rock Instrumental. And that would be the song El Distorto de Melodica. I said like the whitest guy ever.
Nailed it.
You want to give us a little El Distorto de Melodica.
Thank you for stopping by, Roberto.
Wow, yeah. Let's play a little bit.
That was Roberto Sanchez stopping by. Thank you for
El Distorto de Melodica.
There it is.
By Everclear. At first it sounded like it was just going to be a slowed down version of Santa Monica in a lower key. It does sound amazing. This is on So Much for the Afterglow, for which they won Billboard's Modern Rock Band of the Year in 1998. Anyway, that's kind of what we're
going to do. It's interesting that they would win an instrumental because he's not a guitar soloist.
Yeah, yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I mean? He's right. not Satch. He's not yeah. Steve Vai. He's not, you know what I mean?
Right.
So
let's see. Further into the song, let's see where we end up. octaves, you know, that kind of stuff. It feels great, though. I could hear this in a zillion commercials in the 90s. Some nice dissonance there. That's great.
Yeah, I like it.
Like, I don't necessarily know why you would put that on an album, right? It's not like a... But it's cool. It's super cool. Yep. And it won him a Grammy nomination.
Which if given, have y'all been to, have you ever been one of those? I've never done it, but you can like smash cars and beat things up with. That would be
a rage room.
Yeah, a rage room. Yeah. That would be a great rage room song.
Absolutely, it would. Heck yeah. It sounds like, it almost feels like a rock remix, a hard rock remix of Loser by Beck.
Okay.
Like that you could put the vocals to Beck, Loser over that. Yeah. You know what I mean? And it would just fit like a glove. Let's just do it. Shall we do it real quick? Hang on. Here we go. See how far we can get. In the time of chimpanzees, I was a monkey. Butane in my veins, and now I become a junkie with the plastic eyeballs. Spray paint the vegetables, dog food scalds with the beefcake pantyhose. Kill the headlights and put it in neutral. Stock car flaming with the Loser and the cruise control. Babies in Reno with the vitamin D. Got a couple of couches, sleep on the love seat. Someone keeps saying I'm insane to complain about a shotgun wedding and a stain on my shirt. Don't believe everything that you breathe. You get a parking violation and a maggot on your sleeve. So shave your face with some mace in the dark. Saving all your food stamps and burning down a trailer park.
That was amazing. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen. Beck, thank you for stopping
thank
by.
Thank you, Beck. Wow.
Man, unexpected guest.
Who knew we had room for that kind of growth this late into
this
the show?
Late in the home stretch. That was awesome.
Wow.
Thank you, Beck. We didn't expect you just to pop in.
I know. Dang, I didn't even know. He didn't even stay for an interview. That's already right. Gone.
He just came and gone.
All right. we'll send him a text. Thanks, Beck. According to Song Facts, on their 2003 tour, the band would pick an audience member to play Santa Monica on guitar. Cool. And if that person didn't play well, then they would get kicked off stage and replaced with somebody else from the crowd.
They would just kind of keep cycling through until they found somebody that could play it.
Yeah, that's great.
Given the opportunity up there, do you say like, or do you stay true to the, or do you just stay in the pocket? Or are you like, give me a minute to break out and shred? Are you like,
I'm going to throw in a lick.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to throw in a lick.
Because you don't want to upstage him.
Yeah.
You want to be careful and stay in your zone. Nail it. But at the same time, you want to shine a little bit.
You want them to know that they picked the right guy on the right day.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Yeah. What if he
hands you a guitar and they're playing in G, but he hands you a guitar that's tuned down half step?
Right.
And so you have to play... In A flat,
going down to the F for the riff. Yeah,
to the F minor, F major if you're Art.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, whatever. We would still figure it out. Yeah, you and I would both go, okay. Oh, we're up. Okay, no problem.
Yeah.
But yeah, to certain people, they would go, oh no, what do I do? Yeah.
You got a capo,
right? For clear, that's like you immediately get your butt kicked.
You don't even get a chance to play if you ask if you have a capo. They're like, next stop.
Yeah, man. It's like going into a paleo steakhouse and like asking for a nut, or a salad.
He does he like reaches into his pocket and pulls out the middle finger joke, here's your capo.
Right? Yo, I got one right here. And then you don't just get like kicked off stage. You get kicked off stage.
Like foot to backside.
300, this is Sparta.
Yeah.
Kicked off the stage. Yeah. All right. I think that's all I got.
I got Stump the Genius.
Okay.
Let's play Stump the Genius.
Stump the Genius. Stump the genius, it's time to stump the genius.
Jump up and take your part.
I take your part. All right, so art knowledge is hard. I took this quiz and kind of stunk at it.
Okay.
I was terrible at it. So I picked five that I got right out of six. There's like 60-something questions.
Wow.
And I got five.
Okay.
So I'm kind of cheering for him on this. I'm kind of cheering for Rob. If he doesn't get them, though, that's okay, too, because that means I'm smarter.
Okay.
So here's the five that I got. All right. One of Da Vinci's most famous works was called The Last What?
The Last Waltz. No. The Last Supper.
Supper.
Ding, yeah,
ding,
yeah.
Ding,
there
ding,
we go.
Ding, 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 ding.
Should I go get my tambourine?
Maybe.
I have a tambourine in my car.
Anyway, we'll just ding it.
All right. Ding.
Oh, I can see it. Hang on.
Ding. The last ride of the bell. It's so happy. It's headed into retirement. There we go. There it
got
is.
Got one. Okay. Home stretch.
Tis the season.
All right. What boy's name is also the name of a Michelangelo famous sculpture?
David.
There we go. Two for two. How many paintings? This is what I was kind of proud of. How many paintings did Vincent van Gogh sell in his lifetime?
Zero.
One.
Oh, okay.
I didn't know what it was, but I was just like, it's going to be some stupid low number. And so I got that one by a guess.
Okay.
But
one. Wow.
One.
Okay.
It was called the Red Vineyard.
Okay.
So there you go. What scientist invented the color wheel?
Color wheel. Is that...
It's a scientist.
Galileo?
Isaac Newton.
There you go. Okay. Isaac Newton.
Right. And you'll get this one. Who had a 70s hit, Vincent, about Van Gogh?
Of course. Yeah, that would be our boy that we had on the show. Right. That would be... Why am I blanking his name? Don McLean.
Don McLean.
Like, is
Dandy,
it Dan? Dan something?
Dan McLean. Dan Hitler. No, Don McLean. Yeah. One of my favorite things we've ever done in the podcast is he's like, yeah, I'll come on, but you can only play 15 seconds of American Pie. And so Rob played long, long time ago. And then that'll be the day that I die. It's freaking awesome. That's top 10 favorite moments
Thank
for me.
You.
So yeah, art history. Good job on
Thank
art.
Thank you.
Knowledge.
All right.
Well done.
I did what? Three? Two? I got two
you
for
got
five?
Three? No, you got did Supper, okay. David, and Dawn.
Okay. All right.
There you go.
60%.
Yeah. We talk with Art about the videos and stuff, but yeah. Tons of different outfits in this one, tons of different locations. They're trying hard to make it. Like, here they're trying to make it, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
They're still on the way up, still a three-piece.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but good interview, good stuff.
And there's some darker stuff to the story behind the song, mm-hmm. which, for the sake of keeping it light, it's just a heavy subject that we don't really get into. So, yeah. But there is, if you want the full story, you can read a little bit more on the backstory of the song and see kind of, you know, what's significant about the, you know, the backstory.
Yeah.
But we'll let you guys handle that on your own because, you know, we're trying to keep it light.
That's
dude.
Right.
We got three episodes left. This is we're not trying to get into sorrow today, really. So, all right, let's go talk to Art Alexakis, and we'll be back to tuck you in on the other side.
This is the Great Song Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, as promised, we're here with Art Alexakis of Everclear on the Great Song Podcast. Thank you so much, Art, for joining us today. Real treat to have you on the show.
Good to be here, man. Man, you got that radio voice, dude. Do you do radio?
I do podcasts. That's all.
I know, but you went from like earlier, you're like, hey, good to see you, Art. And then you're like, hey, it's Art Alexakis. And I'm just like, whoa.
It's like what's the Stallone movie where he turns the hat backwards? You know,
over
that's kind
top,
of my, I've got my trigger.
Movie.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
There we go.
Oh, and he becomes like a different guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, man. So good to have you on the show. I got to say, like, for me, my experience with Everclear starts with Santa Monica, as do, you know, a lot of us. That was kind of our first exposure.
Most people. Sure.
And Santa Monica, to me, is one of my all-time favorite rock songs. The first time I heard it, I was like, you know, this is everything that rock music is supposed to be. I was 14, 15, whatever. And I was like, this is everything that rock is supposed to be. I'm curious, what's a song for you that does that same thing, that you just listen to this and you go, this is a perfect rock song?
Man, there's so many of them, you know, that I grew up with. Last Child by Aerosmith on Rocks. I think Rocks, their fourth album, is one of the most, it's just all in all the most quintessential, best hard rock record ever made. Wow. To this day. I don't know if you know that album, but I mean, you know, Last Child was the first single off it. And I mean, it's funky, it's hard, it swings, it grooves. It's just, and of course, same thing with you. I was 14, 15. When you're at that age, man, and something hits you, it's like a ton of bricks. It's like your first sexual feelings. You're like, oh my God, what is this? You know? And it's just like, and I think the secret is the people that can perpetuate that type of emotion as they go forward in life, both for music or anything really. And I've got friends like that. I get it every now and then. Something will pop out of nowhere and just kind of knock me down. But you know, I'm 61, man. It's kind of hard to, the pie in the face doesn't work for me anymore, right? You know, it's like, yeah, I've seen behind the curtain. I know Great and Powerful Oz is hell. Sometimes I'm the Great and Powerful Oz. I get it. But it's nice when we can make ourselves simple again, that we can really, really just embrace something with every ounce of our spirit. And thank you for saying that, because, you know, I think Santa Monica is a great rock song. It is. When I wrote it, I was like, the boys came in that day, the next day, I wrote it at night, and they came in the next day, and I'm like, I think I got a single, boys. I played it for them, and they're like, holy, okay. And then we worked it out. My A&R guy came up. We played him all the songs for the record down in my basement in Portland, and he's like, wait a minute. That song you just played, what's that called? I go, it's called Santa Monica. Play it again. And then he's like, that's pretty great song. He goes, I don't think it's finished yet, and you need to change the title. I go, I'm not changing the title of the song. I got creative control. Back off. And he's like, but you don't say Santa Monica in it. I go, I know. And you think Led Zeppelin said trampled underfoot in their song? I mean, just don't tell me what to do. And it ensued this big fight where I actually made the song longer because he made me, and I resented him for it. And then it was a big hit. So who knows? Was he right or wrong? We don't want to know. Right. I'll give it to him.
You talked about being able to perpetuate. I've seen, so I got to see you last year. I'm in Nashville, so I got to see you with Fastball on the rooftop show. I missed this last round, but I saw you last year. And you still bring so much energy into your shows. How much of it is truly enjoyable, and how much is manufactured? As you really look like you're having a great time playing to the live crowd. If you're faking it, you're really faking it well, but it really looks like you're having a good time and love the live show.
Brother, I don't really can think of a time when I'm faking it. I mean, there's times when I've been sick and I have to push myself power into through. A place. Well, yeah, but not just power through the show, power through that feeling to get to where I'm embracing that excitement that I feel every time I play. Look, the travel, dealing with the business aspect of it, all that the bloom is kind of off the rose as far as that goes. I've been doing it for 35 years. But when I walk on stage and play, it's just like I was 15, 20 years old again.
That's awesome.
It really is. So I don't think I was faking it. But there have been times when, and my wife called me on it about 12 years ago, that she thought I was phoning it in. And she was right. I was getting disillusioned with doing the old songs. And that's when I started this Summerland tour. And I just got more proactive, and we did a new record. And it just brought back that spark. It's like being in a relationship or a marriage, man. Sometimes you lose a spark. Doesn't mean you can't get it back. If it was there at one time in any way, shape, or form, I 100% believe that you can get it back.
Yeah. You can hear it on the, like, the Black is the New Black record. You know what I mean? It's that, like, you can hear, it still feels fresh. Like, it sounds amazing. It feels great. And so, you know, really feel that.
I just listened to that for the first time this morning. It's a rainy day here in LA, which is, you know, an anomaly. And I was just playing songs out of my iPhone, and it played a song off there. I'm like, I hate that record. So I put that record on from the beginning, and I listened to All Aside One, you know, and I'm just like, man, that's a good record. That's a good rainy day hard rock record for sure.
Yeah, it really is. And I'm glad that you can listen to your own stuff. I'm glad that you're not too cool to listen to your own music.
It took me a minute. I mean, you know, I, for years, I you get too close to it. And then you just start thinking of like what you do differently or this or that or whatever. But now I can listen to it and just go, okay, you know, that was what, 8 years ago? No, actually, it came out 8 years ago. We made it 9 years ago, so it's almost 10 years old. And it's about exactly 10 years from when I started writing those songs. It was fall of 2013. So, yeah, it was, it's just, when it comes to my own stuff, I'm not precious about it. I know what's good and what's not good. I try really hard to leave the not good stuff on the floor or in the, you know, or in my back pocket till I can make it better with something else. I really like the model we're in now with the live record, like that Segway Boys. Yeah, that was a live record to Live at the Whiskey a Go-Go, where it was nice to revisit those old songs from a contemporary point of view of where we're at now, where the band's at now, and also a couple of new songs of what the band sounds like. And I think it's a cohesive, great Everclear record. I don't know that I'm going to make another whole album, you know? Okay. We'll see. But right now, I know I'm working on another song, writing another song right now. I'd like to do a couple of new songs a year and maybe do an EP with a cover and maybe a acoustic version of an old song, you know, something cool, 4 or 5 songs, put that out every year and have something to tour on, and the fans would be happy with that.
Yeah. Well, you're no stranger to a good cover. I love y'all, your Brown Eyed Girl. I love the cover and the video. And I think that's Marla Sokoloff in that vid. I know her as Gia from Full House, and I kind of crushed on her. So great job grabbing her for the video on that.
What's her name again? Do you mean the lead?
Yeah, I think her name's Marla Sokoloff. Is that the girl?
Marla Sokoloff, yeah.
Yeah, she played Gia in Full House. And I was like, good job, Art, on that one. But that's a great cover. I love that. And we kind of touched on, kind of when me and Rob cut our teeth on you. You really spoke to a generation that was dealing with some stuff. And let's be honest, your songs, although fun, they kind of hit the heart and they speak to heartstrings. I mean, even Promises Mean Everything, When You're Little and the World's Big, from Wonderful. So big. When you wrote that lyric, were you like, yeah, that's a good line? And are there other lines that you're like super proud of? Like, what's your lyric that you're like, man, that's one that I think is awesome,
that you made into a sticker and put on the wall?
Yeah.
Well, that one, I mean, so that song was basically watching my eldest daughter go through a divorce with her parents. And I had gone through that. And so I had to put myself in her, you know, from her position. It wasn't just her. It was also a friend of mine was going through it. And, someone else I knew that was going through it and with kids. And so it's kind of from the kid's perspective. But I was stuck for that line of that little middle eight break there where it comes back into the verse, you know? And, when I wrote that line, I remember where I was dropping my wife at the time, my third wife, off at the doctor's. And I was just in the parking lot in Santa Monica and listening to the rough and, you know, just try coming up with lines and stuff. And I came up with it there and wrote it down, and it helped me go to every different similar part in that song and have a different kind of feel with the same mindset. And, it helped me wrap that song up pretty quick, actually, to be honest with you. But you asked my favorite lines. The hand you hold is the hand that holds you down. I think that's pretty good. Yep. Out of Everything to Everyone.
Yep. Since you mentioned Everything to Everyone, I do have a tie into that.
Okay.
So, Wardrobe, I Will Buy You a New Life. You're rocking the same black suit as you do in Everything to Everyone. You're all rocking that blacked out theme. How much of the band's like appearance and wardrobe are you involved with? And I actually can't watch the Everything to Everyone videos. I get dizzy, all the spit. I can't keep up with it.
I know.
How much wardrobe are you involved in? Or is that like a stylist? Or do you have somebody that does that for you guys? Because y'all always look so freaking cool.
Well, you know, I mean, early on in videos, I was very, yeah, we had a stylist, but I was very involved. And they'd be like, look at this. It's kind of a, this purple kind of, no, that's not working. I ain't wearing purple. He ain't wearing purple. Black. Ever since I was like, you know, found punk rock when I was 16, my wardrobe has primarily been black. Well, most musicians I know.
All your best concert shirts are black. I got this with LA. Well,
all the best any band concert shirts are black, I think. Right. But, you know, yeah, it's just like the guys now. Everybody's got their own thing, but it's like, okay, we're going to wear, just keep it black. You know, if anybody can wear color, it'd be me, but I generally don't. Yeah. I'll buy shirts with color and I'll be like, oh yeah, I'll need this for my wardrobe, and I never wear.
I didn't intentionally set that up.
I'm wearing brown, though. I'm wearing brown.
You're wearing black. Is that brown?
This is brown. It's okay. Brown.
It looks black on the screen.
Yeah, it looks like.
Oh, I know. No, see. No.
Okay.
You got a little contrast there.
Oh, there it is. Yeah. When you lean in, a little contrast there.
Got to lean into it, brother. Lean in.
So you've had a different experience than so many in rock music, in that you and Everclear came into success with you having already been through a like recovery from addiction process, as opposed to like having to cross that bridge at the same time you're learning to deal with fame and the music business and all that stuff. Do you think that kept you from a lot of extra trouble once Everclear took off?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I've said it 100 times that if I wasn't clean and sober when success happened, I wouldn't have made it through. I would have self-destructed for sure. Yeah. Cause I know me, I know my appetites. I know my addiction. It wouldn't happen. Even though I was clean and sober, there was times I didn't act it. In the program, we call that dry drunk. When you're not going to meetings, when you're not working your program, and you're not using or drinking, but your alcoholic mind is driving the bus. And I would substitute other things, notably sex and affairs and relationships outside of my many marriages anyways. So yeah, I left a lot of blood in the water with a lot of people. And because fame, I didn't understand how to deal with fame. I grew up poor, grew up in a, what you call a broken family. Always had my mom. My mom was a Southern girl, and she just loved me fiercely from the moment she was, you know, I was born to the moment she died. And so I always had that. But when I didn't understand doing things right, I didn't understand when people were nice to me. I learned I had the triggers of being beat on and chastised and made fun of and picked on early on and beaten up and raped and all that shit that happened to me when I was younger. So I had a lot of anger and motive power from those triggers. I didn't know how to handle when people were nice to me and saying nice things about me, and I had success and people were paying money to see us. I didn't understand that. And it didn't push me to a place where I used again, but it did push me to a place where I was trying to still fill the hole of low self-esteem with sex and power and shame and control and anger and all those things, because they all cause dopamine. They all create dopamine. Wow. So that's my perspective on it. But I am grateful to my higher power, who I affectionately call God, that I never lost sight that I had, when I surrendered in 1989 and got sober for the first and last time, that I never questioned that surrender, that I was powerless over drugs and alcohol, you know? And now I'm in a place where thanks to Zoom and just, I have a phenomenal phenomenal sober fellowship that meets. I meet with these guys 3-4 times a week on Zoom. Doesn't matter where I'm at. I can be in Australia. There's one of the great times talking about them, talking about winning the backdrop. I went to Greece with my family last April for my 60th birthday. I'm Greek. I've never been to Greece. And my wife found this beautiful little boutique hotel. We had the top of it, and it wasn't as crazy expensive as you think it'd be. And there was a patio out there. So I get up at like, I think 5:30 in the morning before the sun's up. And I go out on the patio with my computer and I got Wi-Fi. And my backdrop is the Acropolis, and it's all lit up, and it's literally like that. It's like the double platinum record there, you know, and it, or just like right there. And the guys get on the thing and they're like, "Art, where are you?" I go, "I'm sorry about that old building over there. They won't turn their lights off, man. I'm sorry."
That's great. Yeah, man, people pay for those kind of backdrops.
I know. I get the mic. I get the mic drop on that one, man, for sure.
You win that. Yeah. Well, that would have been probably on April 12th because that's your birthday. Same birthday as David Letterman, Ed O'Neill from Married with Children, Andy Garcia, Claire Danes, Shannon Doherty, Brandon Urie of Panic at the Disco, Vince Gill, Amy Ray of Indigo Girls, wow. Supermodel Brooklyn Decker. So you get to have lunch with one of those on your birthday.
Brooklyn Decker? Well, that would get me divorced, wouldn't
that would
it?
Yeah.
look, and Dave, you know, I've never known Dave socially, but David Letterman had us on his show probably about 4 times.
Yeah.
And he was a huge fan. He loved the rock and roll, man.
Yeah,
yeah, but you know, Dave's a weird dude. You can't be in the hallway when he's walking. Like, his big bodyguard would be like, "Please wait for Mr. Letterman."
Really?
And they close the door so you can't.
No one. Wow.
Yeah, and when he walks on the stage, they have a curtain. You don't see him from behind. It's a weird thing. But then he's out there, and he's just. You know, he's one of the best. Him and Howard Stern are both weird guys, but they're phenomenal interviewers.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's a good question.
Blows me away.
Yeah.
And you know, Howard doesn't shake hands with anybody.
I've heard that.
And that's what I've been told. Mm-hmm. And then the last time I was there, you know, we got done with the interview and I walked over. I was just going to nod at him and he reached out his hand and I shook his hand and I was there with another guy from another band that's been on his show like 40 times. And he was mad. Like, I never shook hands with Dave, with Howard.
That's awesome.
I have.
That's just one more mic to drop, you know?
Okay, I've got a shaken tie-in since you said shaken hands. You were in bands Shaken Brave and Colorfinger. You come up with either of those two band names, right? And how did y'all land on Everclear?
I come up with everything.
How did y'all land on Everclear? I know Rob had an Everclear name question.
Well, obviously the alcohol. You know, remember I named this band in 92. I had two different names that I liked a lot. It was either going to be Everclear or Sparkle. And, you know, they're both easy to remember. They're both phonetically pleasing to say. But Everclear, you know, I asked a few friends and my girlfriend at the time was like, Sparkle just sounds like an alternative band name. Mm. Everclear is like, you're going to get flack for it, but I think that's the better name. And I agreed with her. I always have my opinion and I ask other people's opinion. It's kind of like in my own mind, okay, you know, convince me, prove me wrong. Uh-huh. And when they start agreeing with the inner voice, then I know I'm on the right track. I just, you know, when I was younger, getting drunk on Everclear, you know, which is 180. It's a brand name for corn alcohol, for corn liquor. And it's 180 proof. I've had some experiences. There's nothing more that gets you, and I've done every drug there is. There's nothing gets you more wasted than alcohol. I mean, alcohol destroys families, destroys communities, destroys, it can destroy anything. You know, and, but, pure grain alcohol, I remember when I was, 22, 21, I was drinking, we're drinking at the beach during the day, beers, and then we went over to a friend's house and had some wine spritzers, and we went to a bar, had some shots, and then we ended up at a party, you know, and at the party, they had a trash can full of what they call jungle juice, which is two big bottles of Everclear and grape Kool-Aid and whatever else they throw in there, like orange slices or whatever. And I remember grabbing a big old Go cup, drinking a couple of those. And then that was Saturday night. And I didn't wake up till Tuesday afternoon.
Holy smokes.
In bed with two women, a guy, and a dog.
Wow.
100 miles away from my house.
Wow. That's impressive, if nothing else.
I think it's impressive.
That's quite a feat.
Yeah. Now you see why I'm sober?
Yeah. Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. We
do want to ask you about AM radio. I know Rob's got a question about it, and I do too. So you're wearing a Portland Trailblazers jersey in that. Is that a Scottie Pippen jersey? I don't know if you remember. And was that intentional, being as that you're from Portland? As I see Greg rocking the Kobe jersey on drums, was that intentional? Are you a Blazers fan, or were you just like, this is just for Portland?
I was a Blazers fan.
Okay.
Yeah, I had season tickets for like 7 years.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Basketball, I've always really enjoyed basketball, but my favorite used to be baseball. Now it's football. So
okay.
I'm a Seahawks fan.
Okay.
Crazy Seahawks fan, and what we call ourselves 12s.
12th man. Yeah.
12th man. And my baseball team since I was 7 years old has been the Dodgers.
Rob are Braves fans, so yeah, I've been to every major league baseball park and all but one NFL stadium. So I'm working on that.
So are you NFL fans too?
Oh yeah, I've been to every major league baseball park and every NFL stadium except for
Who's your football team?
Well, I'm in Nashville, so I'm a Titan. Yeah. I'm loyal to the local folk.
Are you in Atlanta?
I'm in Chattanooga, so I'm in between Nashville and Atlanta. So it's Braves and Titans for me. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. We're Braves fans, definitely.
So Braves and Titans, that's cool. I like, you know, you mix it up. So I'm a Dodgers Seahawks fan, not a Rams fan at all.
Okay.
Chargers, I want to be because I like Herbert, but man, they cannot put it together, those guys. But that jersey I have on says Alex Socrates on the back.
Oh, okay. Heck yeah. I didn't ever see the back. That's cool. I was thinking 33. I was trying to think Scottie Pippen at that time, but dude, that's awesome.
Scottie Pippen. I never liked Scottie Pippen.
He's a bull.
People in Portland did not like him when he was there.
Yeah. Yeah.
They called him no tipping Pippen.
No,
he would never tip. never tip anybody.
Well, what was your Blazer? Were you like a Drexler, Terry Porter era? Is that your guy? Kevin Duckworth, those guys?
No, Clyde Drexler was one of the most genial, classiest guys I got a chance to meet.
That's cool.
And just, I just love that dude. He looked like he walked out of like a Fred Astaire movie in the 40s or something. And he was so talented. Is he in the Hall of Fame?
Should be, if not.
I was going to say, should be.
It's got to be. Clyde the Glide? Come on. Got to be.
Come on. I was there when they, you know, when they played the, in 92, when they played, Chicago for the championship. Yeah. Of course.
Did the shoulder shug and all that. That was that one, yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. But it's like my I have a fan in Seattle that almost every time I'm there gives me a Seahawks jersey with my name on it.
That's awesome.
Which is really cool. Yeah. The first one was like double XL, dude. I'm like, dude, it's like a tent. He goes, I didn't know. And then the next one was like an XL, and then the next one was large. They're all too big for me, but I did take the latest one.
They keep getting smaller. You'll be down to like infant onesies
small.
By the time.
Yeah, I mean like kids small. Yeah.
No, a medium would work. Okay. But I, with the large, if I wear a couple of t-shirts underneath that I can wear. But I did bring it on this tour we just finished. So because every Sunday, you know, we had every Sunday off and we're watching football on the bus. So yeah.
Very cool. Very cool. Let me go. I'm going to skip over a couple questions I had, and we got to get to the question that we ask everybody, which I'll let JP. We finish every interview with the same question, so I'll let JP holler.
Okay.
Sure. Art, you're on tour, and you go into a gas station. What is your gas station snack food of choice? And while you're thinking of it, I'll tell you mine. I get a Three Musketeers bar. When I was growing up, my mom would say you could have any candy bar you want, and it's the most ounces. So I get a Three Musketeers candy bar in a gas station. What does Art get in a gas station?
You get Three Musketeers. You just three want Musketeers. all that nougat. That's a nougat overload. Never, never a fan, but if they gave it to me, I would eat that Three Musketeers because it was candy. You know, it's changed over the years. Back in the day, it would be I get something sweet. Like some truck stops and gas stations have, you know, like the Cinnabon thing. And yeah. I'll get a Cinnabon. But these days, because of my MS, I'm not eating sugar like that, refined sugar or dairy. So these days, it's like usually some corn chips or I can eat... Well, you go chicharrones, the pork cracklings.
Oh, yeah. We call it pork rinds, kind of those things.
Pork rinds. Yeah, it's pretty white trash in me, but my mom's a hillbilly, dude. I'm half hillbilly, half Greek. So I'll get down like that, you know, the ones with the spicy powder on it. Yeah. It's just a lot of salt. Now I got to be the older guy and I got to watch my diet. But usually something like corn chips or something like that. Nothing good. Nothing fun. Usually instead of going to the gas station, I'll go to the Starbucks.
There you go. Okay. Starbucks. All right.
Well, Art, man, this has been fun. Thanks so much for doing this. We appreciate
Thanks, fellas.
We'll have you back on in the future and talk about other stuff. We got stuff we could ask you for days. So Rob's got a little
thing.
But for sure.
It's been fun.
Thanks, boys.
Yeah, man. Take it easy. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Art. We'll see you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
This is the Great Song Podcast.
And that was Art Alexakis of Everclear.
Man, fun stuff.
One of the great bands of the 90s, but out there still doing it now.
Still crushing the game.
And still making great stuff for everybody. So really cool to talk to Art. I thought we were going to run out of time before we got to talk to him. Like I thought just on our timeline of, you know, things, we knew we had the opportunity, but I thought we were going to run out of time before we
got to
get him. So I'm really glad we got to talk to him.
Had to be a little more selective coming down the home stretch this run, guys.
Yeah.
So there's some that, you know, maybe we'll sync up with in the future, but, that's possible. But for now we're, anyway, it's been great. So.
That's right. So, yes, we will be back. There are two episodes remaining of the Great Song Podcast after today. So make sure you're hanging in there. We're going hard till the very end, and it's going to be great. So we'll see you next week with the penultimate episode of the Great Song Podcast. Until then, I'm Rob.
I am JP.
Go listen to some music.